good and restful afternoon this afternoon. And song says, hold on. And we can hold on to Jesus because he's holding on, or we can hold on to Jesus because he is faithful and just, and he will never do us wrong. So if you feel like letting go tonight, just hold on. If you've looked in your bulletin today, I put a little insert or excerpt in there. The bottom left-hand corner kind of goes along with our lesson this morning, our message. Says, push, pray until something happens. So sometimes you just gotta push and be persistent. Take your Bibles and turn to the New Testament book of 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. Appreciate the service this morning and the Lord using his word to speak to us about the matter of prayer. Different avenues of prayer. And you know, prayer is essential to the Christian life, to living a life of victory. It's having that close communion with the Lord and staying connected to him. But tonight we're going to go in a different direction, and lessons found in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll bring about the subject tonight. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful for who you are and for what you do. Lord, we're thankful that we can go to you in prayer. Lord, we're needy creatures tonight, and we're in need of a touch from you, Lord, because we want to touch your people. So, Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd help us to rightly divide your word and communicate your word, the truths of your word, to the hearts of your people. Lord, we'll be careful to praise you for everything. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, when it comes to the eyes, our physical eyes, over time, our eyes have a way of kind of losing their sharpness. We go to the eye clinic from time to time, and we have to get eye appointments and eye checkups. I was thinking today that I've been wearing contacts since I was 13 years old, and I'll be 37 in a few weeks. And so I know a little bit about the eyes and about how that the eyes can grow dim and get worse over time. I'm not sure, but probably very, very few people can maintain or have maintained perfect 20/20 vision their whole lifespan. And but the eyes over time have a way of losing their sharpness, and if we're not careful and if we don't stay going to our eye doctor and doing what he says, that we can lose the freshness of the eyes and the visual that we have. Tonight I want to kind of parallel that with something that Peter says in verse number 9. Because in a spiritual sense, he starts to talk about the eyes. Notice what he says, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 9. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So Peter is talking about the eyes. In a very spiritual sense, not physical sense. I want you to notice where he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He's talking about someone who doesn't have vision for the distance, but has vision up close. Now, in the physical realm, according to the eyes, that's called being nearsighted, or farsighted rather, being farsighted. You can see up close, but you can't see far away. And I know that sounds opposite, but I believe that's true. I can't see far away. I can see up close. And so Peter says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He has a sight problem. He can only see what's up close and cannot see the things that are far away. Cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And so Peter is dealing with losing sight of the cross and losing sight of what Jesus did and getting to a place in your life where if we're not careful and we don't give heed to the things of God, that our sight can grow dim, spiritually speaking. As in anything else, when it comes to spiritual sight, that something that one time may have had a luster to it, at one time may have had a sparkle to it, a certain ministry, you may have been excited about it one time, but it's been some years now, and for some reason that ministry or that specific area you serve in has lost its luster. Why is that? And why is it sometimes in our spiritual lives that we get comfortable and we get sidetracked and we lose focus of the things that really matter to the Lord? And we find ourselves drifting at times and retreating, maybe because it has to do with being spiritually farsighted. We're at a place where we can only see what's right in front of us and not far away. And Peter talks about in this verse that the person that cannot see far away but only up close is the person that has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. There's a song that's been out for years, and it's called "I Have Not Forgotten God's Only Begotten." And it fits perfectly right here. And so tonight, for a few moments, I want to just speak to you concerning this subject, fresh eyes, having fresh eyes. You know, sometimes in life when we start a new job or we start a new ministry or we're in a new area of life, anything that's new, we come on the scene and we're able to see things differently than the people that have been there for a while. And this is called fresh eyes. In fact, Brother Snyder asked me one time when I was his associate, he said, "Now, Brother Justin, I want you to be honest with me." He said, "I've been here for 24 plus years. He said, "You have fresh eyes. You're new. Can you tell me anything that we could do better?" And of course, we had that conversation. We had a good time talking about some things. But fresh eyes. It's possible sometimes to be at a church or be on a job or be in a specific ministry where you have been doing it for year and year and year, time and time again, and for whatever reason, it's lost its luster. I wonder tonight, does it have anything to do with us in our eyesight spiritually? So my prayer is tonight that we would glean some things from these verses and the Lord will give us some fresh eyes, fresh eyes. I'm convinced of this, that we don't need a new church. We don't need 101 different activities going on. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need a lot of new things. All we need is fresh eyes. We need fresh eyes when it comes to the callings of God and to know why we're doing what we're doing. And when we know what we're doing and we know we're called of God and we're doing those things, God allows us to see things differently. And there's a new passion that develops, a new fervency that develops within our hearts. And even though numbers may be down, we're able to still passionately go forward. It's God developing new eyes or fresh eyes for us. I think it would be good that all of us ask of God for fresh eyes concerning Calvary. Lord, help us not get focused on who's not here. Lord, help us not get focused on what needs to be done and be bogged down with the negative aspect. But Lord, help us focus on the cross and what you did for us. Lord, help us focus on the things that pertain unto you and maintaining the right relationship with you. Lord, help us to have fresh eyes when it comes to having unity in the church and being unified. And we are. But over time, it's possible to become spiritually farsighted, and we're only focused on the here and the now, and we're bogged down and bewildered even because of what we might see. So I want to mention some things tonight out of these verses. Verse number three down through verse number 10. Four things that deal with the subject of having fresh eyes. If you notice in verse number 3 and verse number 4, we see there's a promise for fresh eyes. He says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so verse 3 and verse 4, Peter talks about promises that we were given to have fresh eyes. He says we were given promises that we can operate out of, the promise of his presence, the promise of his power, the promise of his providings and provisions. And Peter says because of these promises, if we embrace these promises and operate out of these promises, we can have fresh eyes. Look at verse 3 again. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so the Lord has given us everything that pertains to the life we're living now, and all of the provisions to live a life of victory now and forge ahead in godliness, being more holy, being made more like Jesus. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Then he says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We see tonight that Peter mentions we have been given provision. In other words, he gave us provision, the Lord did, and Peter mentions this provision so that we might be able to be an overcomer. He says we've been given these provisions so we might have fresh eyes, so that we might be able to see the needs that need to be done to move forward in victory. Notice what else he says in verse 3. Notice that latter part of verse 3. He says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We know the Lord, when he saves us, he calls us with a holy calling. He calls us with a heavenly calling. And here he says, who hath called us to glory and virtue. The words glory and virtue has to do with the person of Christ, has to do with who he is and his character. And when a person trusts Jesus as their Savior, at the same time, the Lord has called us to a life of glory and virtue. In other words, there's responsibilities as Christians. We are to be as he is. We are to be holy, for he is holy. And then he gets down in verse number 4 and he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Peter says there is enough in this world to have us lose our sight spiritually. He says there's lust in this world. There's corruption in this world. And he says that while there's lust in this world and corruption in this world, there's an antidote to that. He says that we don't have to fall victim through lust and corruption. We don't have to have our spiritual eyes become blinded. We don't have to lose the focus of the cross. We don't have to lose our fervency and passion for the Lord. Because he says that whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these promises, what are his promises? I said it a moment ago and I'll say it again. He has promised us of his presence. He has promised us of his power. He has promised us of his provisions and his leadings and guidings. And we talked about this morning who he is and his character. God knows all things. God has all power. God's everywhere at the same time. And so Peter says, with all of this pushed in one big old pile, if we really, really take this in and digest it and start to operate out of these promises, we can be overcomers and escape the world, which is contained with corruption and lust. Talking about having fresh eyes. But sometimes while in the world, our eyes get shifted and we get our eyes off the things that really matter. And over time, it's not a night and day thing. It's a gradual losing of the vision. I said a moment ago that I first started wearing contacts when I was 13 and about to be 37. Well, from 13 to 37, my vision hasn't deteriorated that much, thank God. I mean, it's deteriorated enough where I have to wear glasses or contacts to see or drive or do anything else, but it sure enough has deteriorated. And Peter is saying that our spiritual vision can deteriorate if we're not taking heed and being diligent when it comes to this area of virtue and glory. God has called all of us to virtue and glory. He has called us to be like Him and to walk like Him and talk like Him and be His mouthpiece and be His hands and be His feet. Sometimes through time, things can lose their luster and we can slowly drift and become spiritually farsighted, where all we see is the world and all we see is our problems that are in front of us. Remember this morning I talked about getting into that quiet place and praying, and while many times you may be wrestling in that quiet place, well, Lord, I have this need, and if this need isn't met, here's a deadline. After a while, your prayer life can shift from needing God to meet your need to just falling in love with the person of God and knowing that no matter the need, you know the one who can meet your need. Although He may delay and although He may not give you a direct answer, if you fall in love with Him, if I fall in love with Him and who He is, it doesn't really matter when that need is met because I know the one who can meet the need. So tonight, when it comes to this situation of having fresh eyes, Peter says that over time our spiritual eyes can deteriorate. He said, but the Lord has a way of allowing us to have sharp vision if we let Him. Fresh eyes. Notice something else. Not only do we see in verse 3 and 4 a promise for fresh eyes, but the practice of fresh eyes. Look at verse number 5. He said, and beside this, beside knowing we have these promises and we know we have this calling to virtue and to glory, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about the practice of fresh eyes. This is the way to keep our spiritual focus sharp. He says, now we have the promise of fresh eyes. God has given to us the exceeding great precious promises, but now there's the practice. Verse 5, beside the promises given, now it's time to practice. And beside this, given all diligence. Another word for diligence is heedfulness, earnestness. Staying at it. Staying going. Don't become idle. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is another word for moral excellence or excellent in character. And to virtue, knowledge. Notice what he says in verse number 5. He says, add to your faith. You see, we can't add our faith but we can add to our faith, because the Lord is the foundation of our faith. And we, and all these other virtues and graces are built upon Him. And so He says, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith, and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Knowledge of Him, knowledge of His will, knowledge of His ways, knowledge of His person. He says the Christian life is more than just accepting Jesus as Savior. He says it's more than that. Salvation is the getting on station, so to speak. But then it's time for some addition in your Christian faith. He said, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance or self-control. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. He's talking about having this, these fresh eyes. Being able to see Jesus. Being able to see His will. Being able to trace His hand. And being able to trust His heart in life. And so many times, if we're not careful, our vision can become distorted, and we're all caught up on the here and the now. And Peter, he talks about that there is a group of people that have become to a place where they cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. And so he says there's a promise, but there's a practice. He says add to your faith. He says it's time to have some additions on top of your faith. And the additions are virtue, knowledge, verse 5. Verse 6, temperance, self-control, patience, godliness. Verse 7, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. So we're talking about the practice of fresh eyes. And so if we do these things and we're diligent and we're intentional and we operate out of the promises that are given to us, and we practice and stay at it, our eyes can stay sharp and stay fresh. There will be an enlargement of knowledge in our hearts and minds. There will be a little more stretching of patience in our life. There will be a little more love that is being spread, and love that is motivating others in our life when we have these fresh eyes, when we're staying in tune and in touch with the Lord. And given all diligence. Has anybody had their patience stretched lately? Has anybody had love? What I mean by love, I mean, has anybody had have been challenged by love lately? In other words, the Lord wanting you to reach out to somebody in love. The Lord wanting you to love someone as opposed to avenge someone. These are things where God will have us to be in order for us to exercise patience and charity. He's wanting us to get to a place where we have fresh eyes. I don't know about you, but I want to abound in the area of love. I want to abound in the area of patience. I want to abound in the area of knowledge. I don't want to stay the same and be stagnant and stale. I want to abound and become more and more loving, more and more patient in my life, don't you? The Bible says that if we do that, look at verse number 8, if we do that, we know we are bearing fruit. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verse number 5 through 8, deals with the practice of fresh eyes. Verse 3 and 4 deals with the promise of fresh eyes. But in verse number 9, there's the problem with fresh eyes. And that's our text verse. Look what he says again in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind. The person that is not abounding and moving forward in patience and love, and the person that is exactly the same in character a year ago when you talked to them, a year ago when you met with them, and you said, man, they haven't changed one bit. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The word lacketh these things is through the idea of something being in store. But he that lacketh these graces and virtues being in store. For the person who, and we all are upon this scale in some sense, that is lacking patience, that is lacking moral excellence, that is lacking charity, that is lacking kindness. And surely by now they should have produced a little bit of patience, a little bit of love, a little bit of care, a little concern. But no, they're getting worse. They're going the opposite way. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says again in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things, he that where these things are absent, they're not in store, is blind and cannot see afar off. They have spiritual farsightedness. They can't see far off. They can only see what's up close. My question is, why and how does it happen? How can somebody go from abounding and operating out of love and showing kindness and all of these other things, but now there's a lack to their spiritual growth? It stopped. Something's happened. Something is taking place. I said a moment ago, and I'll say it again, sometimes it's a gradual waning. But other times, there's one specific incident that can be a roadblock to a person. And he says that there's a problem with fresh eyes, that sometimes some people, they lose sight of the cross, and they lose sight of the fact that they were purged from all their sins. Lord, help us get to the place where we never lose sight of what Jesus did for us. You know, sometimes you'll run across somebody that you used to see in church. And you'll ask him, say, I hadn't seen you at church lately. And I'd love to have you come back. I would, but I was just treated wrong. You know, I was hurt. You know what I want to ask him? I want to ask him sometimes, well, did Jesus do it to you? Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus didn't do that to them. And listen, we ought not to let any person, any plot, any scheme get us out of church, because it's the Lord that got us in church. The Bible talks about getting to a place where we have forgotten, we have gradually waned from the sight of the cross, and that we were purged from our old sins. There is a lack of character in store in our life, and that's a problem. So sometimes when people say, well, I'm going to change churches, or I'm going to just surrender this ministry and give it up, could it be that you don't have fresh eyes anymore? Could it be because of what's on the surface and you can't get past the surface level and see the reason why you went to church there, or the reason why you signed up for that ministry? You're all caught up in the here and the now. And in all actuality, we need to have fresh eyes. We need to know why we're doing what we're doing. If we were coming to church and serving the Lord for man's sake, it'd be depressing. It'd be depressing. But if we're coming to church and serving the Lord for the Lord's sake and because of what he did on the cross, then it doesn't matter if there's one or a thousand in attendance. Because we're doing it for him, and we're operating out of his promises, and we're maintaining fresh eyes. But that's the challenge tonight, is maintaining fresh eyes. I assure you tonight, the devil wants you to see what's right here in your face. Whether it's at church, whether it's at home, whether it's on the job, the devil wants you to see that the only way for the situation to change is to walk out the door. But the Lord is a little different from that. Because the Lord, through Peter, tells us that our motive, our operating place of operation, ought to be the cross. because we're saved, because our sins are gone, we ought to operate out of that. No matter if it's one or a thousand, we're going to be here, we're going to minister, we're going to love. We got fresh eyes. Sometimes the devil likes for us to look around in life and in the world and see that, man, sin is being tolerated and nobody cares about God anymore. And it'd be very easy to be discouraged, but with fresh eyes, it's hard to be discouraged. We see a problem with fresh eyes, but then I want you to notice in verse number 10, we see the ponder of fresh eyes. He says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." He sums up things with a ponder here about fresh eyes. He says, number one, that we need to have an examination of our salvation. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Sometimes when there's a flatness, when there's a time in our life when we feel like that we're not bringing forth fruit, or maybe someone else has retreated on the Lord and kind of just backslid on God, and there's nothing happening, and there's no newness in their life, it's a good time to just do a self-examination and make sure you're in the faith. And if you've examined yourself and you know that there was a time and place when you called on the Lord for salvation, and then that settled. But he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." When we do this self-examination of salvation, we know that salvation is coupled to good works. We know that someone who is truly saved will produce good works and characteristics of God and Christian virtues. So he says that there needs to be a self-examination. In other words, Peter is really honing down on the fact and the seriousness of having fresh eyes and producing these godly characteristics. He says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence." I mean, don't allow any time to lapse. Cast your eyes on the cross and do a self-examination to see if you're really in the faith or not. And if you are, he says, "For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." If you are in the faith and there has been a time and place where you've been saved, he says, just continue. Just continue being diligent. Don't stop being diligent. Continue to be diligent. Continue to go after these things in your life, operating after or from the promises of God, so that you might escape the world which is full of lust and corruption. Tonight, the message is simply this: Lord, give us fresh eyes. Lord, help us not be controlled by emotions, or help us not be controlled by a wrong perception of things. Because tonight, we don't know what God's doing. There is no telling what the Lord is doing tonight. There's no telling what God's doing here. There's no telling what the Lord is doing in your household and mine. And sometimes it doesn't seem like anything's happening. But the Bible says that we're not going to be unfruitful if we're diligent. We may not see the fruit immediately, but if we're diligent, we will have fruit. It's kind of like the farmer. He goes out and he plows the ground and does all that work, and then he plants the seed. And then he prays for rain. He prays for rain. The farmer is reliant upon God sending the rain. And tonight, we are to be reliant upon the Lord as we remain diligent. And we go, and we go for Him. We remain faithful. We go after these graces and virtues, that the Lord will bring it to pass in His own time. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We'll have a verse of invitation. You need to come and pray. You come and pray.